This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The Blagojevich bombshell, candidate number 5, the cold cash election, the footsie appeal, a Kennedy and the nanny volunteer for the Senate seat in New York. It's almost too much for the political junkie.
There you go again.
When I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
But I'm the decider.
On Wednesdays, NPR political editor Ken Rudin joins us to talk politics. And this week, well, one Senate seat for sale, another very much up for discussion. Two House races finally decided. Senator Craig loses his appeal. Joe the Plumber throws John McCain under the Straight Talk Express. The House Ethics Committee expands its look into Charlie Rangel's ways and means. One analysis lists Illinois as the 6th most corrupt state in the union. And a bit will give you the chance to raise your state's ranking. Plus, we'll talk with David Korn of Mother Jones about the president-elect's cabinet and disillusion on the left. But we begin, as always, with a trivia question. Political junkie Ken Rudin has managed to tear himself away from his new blog to join us here in Studio 3A. Hey, Ken?
Neil, not much going on.
No, pretty short this week. Yeah.
Okay, well, since we're talking about ethics and corruption, what state over the last 20, 30 years has lost, let's see how this works, what state has lost the most governors because of corruption? Governors who have left office early because of corruption.
So if you think you know the answer to which state over the past 20, 30 years that has had the most governors leave office because of corruption, give us a phone call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And, we got to begin in Chicago.
And where do you start? I mean, there's so many things. I mean, obviously, everybody knows what's going on with Governor Rod Blagojevich. And, of course, now everybody knows how to pronounce his name.
Even spell it, a few of us.
That's right. Now, there are so many things going on at the same time. There is a move in the state legislature controlled by the Democrats to have impeachment hearings because, of course, Governor Blagojevich still has the power to, this is what it's all about, he still has the power to name a successor to Barack Obama in the Senate, and he's been caught on federal wiretaps talking about how he'd sell the Senate seat to the highest bidder. This talks about Senate candidate number 5, Senate candidate number 1. Senate candidate number 1 was Obama's choice. Senate candidate number 5 was willing to pay like $500,000 or $1 million, you know, for the right to have the seat. So there are a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors, a lot of stuff going on. Impeachment is one of the ways out because Blagojevich still has that power.
President-elect Obama today called on Governor Blagojevich to resign. Others have said the same thing. That would immediately elevate Pat Quinn, the lieutenant governor, to the governor's chair, and then he could appoint a new senator.
Right, but the new wrinkle, of course, is yesterday the one remaining senator from Illinois, Dick Durbin, also a Democrat, said that what we perhaps should have is a special election. Anybody whom the governor appoints, of course, the Senate wouldn't have to confirm, you know, accept that appointment, but appointment could be considered just suspect at this point, and the best way to do it is with an open election, a special election. Now, of course, that would cost the state at least $50 million, and by some accounts, and that would, you know, in these tough times, that would not be so good. And it could also give the Republicans a shot. I mean, you know, prior to this week, this was a done deal that a Democrat would get the seat by whom, no matter who Blagojevich appointed, and would be the favorite to run for Obama's seat in 2010 when the seat comes up for election.
All right. Let's see. We got some people think they know the answer to our trivia question. Again, which state has had the most sitting governors leave office early due to scandal over the next last 20 or 30 years? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Pete. Pete with us from Philadelphia.
Hi. How's it going? Oh. I think it's got to be New Jersey.
Got to be New Jersey, my home state.
Well, actually, the answer is not New Jersey. The only governor to leave office early in the last 20, 30 years is Jim McGreevy, who was involved in a sex scandal. I don't know if that qualifies as corruption, but just McGreevy. William Cahill was a governor elected in 73 for one term, but he did not, and I'm sorry, 1969 for one term, left office in 73, but he did not leave office early, even though he later was convicted of crimes.
Generally a good guess on corruption charges, but no, thanks very much, Pete.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go to Tom with us from Des Moines.
Louisiana.
Oh, also generally another good guess.
Well, it's a great guess, but it's incorrect. Now, when you think of Louisiana corruption, you think of Edwin Edwards, and he later did go to prison for corruption scandal, and he did famously say that the only way I'll be defeated by the voters is if I'm caught in bed with a dead girl or a live boy. Either way, that's Louisiana for you. But he served out his term, did not leave office early because of corruption.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Sean. Sean with us from Louisville.
Is it Kentucky?
Well, no.
A lot of governors from Kentucky in trouble.
Yes, and that's true, but nobody left office early. There, you know, not in decades has anybody left office early in Kentucky. There were some impeachment hearings back in the 30s, but nothing in recent years.
All after they leave office.
That's right. It was, yeah.
All right. Well, Sean, thanks very much. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Kyle. Kyle with us from Charton, is that right, in Ohio?
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Is it Illinois?
The obvious guess.
Well, see, now that's a perfect example. You've had three governors of Illinois who have gone to prison. Otto Kerner, who was elected, you know, in 1960. You had Dan Walker, who was elected in 72. And you had George Ryan, of course, the previous Republican governor.
If things work out, the Blagojevich and him could be cellmates.
Except for the fact that all three went to prison after they were governor. They all served out their terms as a governor. Matter of fact, Otto Kerner was a federal judge when he was convicted and left the bench. But all three served out their terms as governor. So Illinois, despite all we're talking about, is not the state we're talking about.
Kyle, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And all right, let's go now to Ben. And Ben's with us from Flagstaff, Arizona.
Ooh.
Hi, Neil.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I'm thinking Arizona, Fife Symington.
Well, you have Fife Symington and Evan Meekum, who was impeached.
Congratulations, Ben.
Two governors. Thank Fife you. Symington left because of corruption charges, and Evan Meekum was impeached and removed from office in 1988. Two governors in the past 30 years left because of corruption.
And that, you don't think of Arizona up there in the state rankings of corruption.
Because they all, because, you know, everybody there, of course, has a sense of humor.
Ben, I'm sorry about that, but you win the no prize this week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We do have some actual decisions having been made in a couple of congressional races, one not unconnected to corruption.
Well, that's interesting. Now, in Louisiana, where anything goes, we once thought, even in 2006, when we already knew about the alleged $90,000 in cold cash in his freezer, William Jefferson was reelected in 2006. But since then, he was indicted, and on Saturday, he was defeated by a completely unknown, unheralded Republican candidate. The thought of a Republican winning that district is just remarkable. And he's also the first Vietnamese-American ever elected to Congress, Joseph Gao. It's just remarkable. And I guess sometimes voters say enough is enough, and that's apparently the case with Bill Jefferson.
Any truth to the rumor that you're moving to that district in Louisiana so you can run against him in 2 years?
Joseph Gao?
Yeah.
Gao? No, but you know the old expression, let Saigons be Saigons.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No more jokes.
A nail biter decided in Ohio.
Yes, and that's a pickup for the Democrats, but it was a Mary Jo Kilroy. This is the seat where Deborah Price around Columbus, Ohio, is retiring. Mary Jo Kilroy, who barely lost 2 years ago to Price, was trailing on Election Day, but a provisional ballots put her over the top, the first Democrat to win that seat in 42 years. But you know what Republicans will point out? That in the news since November 4th, on the voting, they've elected Saxby Chambliss, they defeated Bill Jefferson in Louisiana. They held the Louisiana 4 district that Jim McCrary left off. And, of course, then they have the corruption in Illinois. Not a bad time to be Republican, given the fact that November 4th was so terrible.
We've been talking a lot about the Senate seat in Illinois. A lot of people also talking about the Senate seat in New York, should Hillary Clinton be confirmed as the next Secretary of State.
And, of course, there's no reason why she shouldn't be. And, of course, she said she'll stay in office. One name that keeps getting thrown out a lot or thrown around a lot is Caroline Kennedy. Not only the daughter of the late president, but the niece of the former senator from that exact seat, Robert Kennedy Jr. Robert Kennedy. She has expressed interest, or at least her brother said that she expresses interest Robert Kennedy Jr. said that Caroline is interested in
the
seat.
It's hard to keep them straight.
I know, all these Kennedys.
Look alike.
But I've heard a lot of people talking about that Caroline Kennedy may even be a smokescreen, that David Paterson, the governor of New York, a Democrat, would rather not point the number one most mentioned person, State Attorney General Andrew Cuomo, and Kennedy, by talking about Caroline Kennedy, it gives him time to vet other candidates. The names I'm hearing most is Congresswoman Kirsten Gillibrand from around the Albany area and Brian Higgins from Buffalo.
Not Fran Drescher?
No, she said. Look, she said she mentioned that she should have it too because anybody's qualified, and of course it would be interesting. But she doesn't have that. Does she have a New York accent?
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, and whoever gets appointed, a Democrat, it's certainly going to be, will have a conceivably tough opponent in 2 years' time.
In New York, if we're talking about New York, absolutely true. Peter King, a congressman from Long Island. There's really nobody left on the Republican Party in New York, but Peter King has talked about running statewide. If it's an unheralded Democratic choice, a split party, he could be a viable candidate. Same if there's a special election in Illinois. Congressman Mark Kirk is from suburban Chicago. He survived 2008, which is not bad for a Republican in Barack Obama, Illinois. Mark Kirk could be a Republican candidate for a special election seat in Illinois, and he would be formidable as well.
And finally, another case coming back, a blast from the past, Senator Larry Craig lost an appeal yesterday before the Minnesota State Court of Appeals. A three-judge panel said he could not withdraw his guilty plea to the sex sting operation, even though he argued that foot tapping was protected first by the First Amendment.
And that's all I'll have to say about that.
All right. Ken Rudin with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking about more about the situation in Illinois and the idea that some states just have the reputation of being more corrupt than others. Where does your state stand? We're going to be talking about a survey done by a publication that listed the 35 most populous states in order of corruption value. You'll be able to argue to move your state up in the rankings. Give us your most stained reputations when you come back. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Ken Rudin will stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It's Wednesday. Political junkie Ken Rudin is with us. And obviously the big story this week is what the FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago described as a crime spree of corruption in Illinois, which lived down to its reputation as one of the most corrupt states in the country. But just one. According to a publication called the Corporate Crime Reporter, it's number 6 among the 35 most populous states. So what is your state's great stain of honor? Hey, I'm from New Jersey, home to Boss Haig years ago, and epicenter of the Abscam scandal. And why do we take a kind of perverse pride in our Boss Tweeds and Duke Cunninghams? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. And while we await nominees to be phoned and emailed in, Ken, a little bit more about Chicago, because there are other shoes to drop. First of all, we were talking earlier about Senate candidate number 5, the one who is allegedly offered $500,000 or $1 million for the Senate job. According to ABC News, they named that Senate candidate number 5 as Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr.
That's correct. We have not confirmed that, although when asked about it this morning, Jesse Jackson Jr., Congressman Jackson, said that he doesn't know if he's number 5, but he said he absolutely had nothing to do, nobody associated with him, nobody on his staff, nobody on his behalf have ever been in a position to offer any kind of quid pro quo, and that includes $500,000 that Blagojevich has talked about on tape. So Jesse Jackson's name has been perhaps linked to this Senate candidate number 5, but as far as whether he offered bribes or money or payments, he said absolutely not. And Jackson said that he's been told that he is not a subject of the investigation.
A target of the investigation. And of course, all we know is these wiretaps, which of course are Blagojevich's version of the story, a story which may change under oath. We'll find out what happens later. Nevertheless, there is another connection that everybody is concerned about. This was Senator Obama's seat. We had a conversation that David Axelrod, a close campaign manager for Senator Obama, then candidate, presidential candidate Obama, said at one point that, Senator Obama had talked with Governor Blagojevich about who should succeed him. Here's a tape of that that comment.
I know he's talked to the governor, and, you know, he's there are a whole range of names, many of which have surfaced, and he's I think he has a fondness
David,
for a lot of them.
And yesterday, David Axelrod had a different story.
Yeah, no, the tape we just heard, I believe, is Axelrod on Fox News about right after the election, saying that I know that that President-elect Obama has spoken to Governor Blagojevich, and now he says no. It's my understanding that there has been no conversation, and Barack Obama himself has said no conversation. It's kind of hard to imagine the conversation in some kind of levels did not go on, because obviously Barack Obama would have strong interest in who succeeds him in the Senate. And of course, he has many allies in Illinois who want that seat. But it's just very interesting how David Axelrod was talking about how this is a different open administration. And there was something kind of queasy about listening to Axelrod a month ago and to read the statement yesterday. They said, no, I was mistaken.
And the other part of it is that, of course, on the tapes, at one point, Blagojevich said all that they, meaning referring to the president-elect using a barnyard term, said all they are prepared to offer me is gratitude, thanks. Bleep them, he said. They apparently are not close.
Exactly, because we're talking about Senate candidate number one, who apparently was Valerie Jarrett, a close advisor of Barack Obama, who ostensibly was Obama's choice to succeed him in the Senate. But Blagojevich said, obviously, that if they're not going to pay to play, then, you know, blank them. But all these other candidates, Congressman Danny Davis, Jan Schakowsky, Louis Gutierrez, they've all met, most of them have all met with Blagojevich. Jesse Jackson Jr. met with him as early as Monday, the day before he was arrested. I wonder if all of them would be tainted if they run in a statewide election or something, because the Blagojevich link is just so toxic right now.
Right.
Tammy Duckworth, who is the State Director of Veterans Affairs, she's also on the list too. Very close with Blagojevich. Emil Jones, the President of the State Senate, very close with Blagojevich. You wonder if their political careers are in serious jeopardy.
Anyway, getting back to the rankings of the most corrupt states in the country, this is from an article at Politico.com, and I guess it's not really a trivia question as to which one is number one.
That's true, but actually it's in the South. It's Louisiana, which, it's Louisiana. I think it's Louisiana, Kentucky, and Mississippi. Interesting that those are the most corrupt. Illinois, I think, finished sixth on that list.
Sixth on that list.
And yet when you think of corruption, you think of Paul Powell, the former Secretary of State of Illinois, who after his death found shoeboxes. You know, they found millions of dollars in shoeboxes. And, of course, you had the three governors who later went to prison. But, you know, Louisiana is known for corruption. In Kentucky, the state legislature had many people arrested. In Alaska, just, you know, the past year, the Vico scandal, where of course, Ted Stevens was indicted and convicted on stuff related to that, but members of the state legislature were convicted as well.
Let's get some nominees from our listeners, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and let's start with Steve. Steve with us from Syracuse, New York.
Well, I just wanted to make the comment that I did think that New York might get the erroneous slam regarding the last governor. I think that was sort of an abomination. It doesn't necessarily show a pattern of our governors. I think we have more local issues. Syracuse had a mayor, Lee Alexander,
right,
who did a lot of good things for the city, but he did it in a way that he committed federal crime. So I think it happens at more local, and even what Charlie Rangel's up to sort of makes me concerned about the congressman. But as a state as a whole, I'm not really aware of, like, you know, our big guys going down.
I don't think so. Obviously, New York City has a rather ripe reputation going back in history.
Well, of course, they had Donald Maness scandal in New York with the people who later committed. He was a president of the borough of Queens who later committed suicide. Meade Esposito, a lot of folks in Brooklyn also went to prison. But no, Spitzer should not be on this list. That was a personal peccadillo, not personal corruption. But I think local officials, as you say, have shown to be quite corrupt in New York. New Jersey, too. Big city mayors, the mayor of Newark, a bunch of mayors from from Jersey City have gone to prison. But as far as governors, you know, it's been pretty clean as well.
I think you look at a place like New York City, and you just have to go statistics. You get 8 million people, 10 million people together, it's going to happen.
Yep. According to the statistics from the Corporate Crime Reporter, New York and New Jersey in at 9 and New York in at 10. So let's.
Well, that's a nice ranking.
There you go.
In this regard.
Bye-bye. Let's see. Here's an email from Carl in Seward, Alaska. Where is Alaska? The oil companies have bought the state since 2007. Bill Allen, CEO of VECO. Indictment, 10 state representatives have been indicted, 6 of which are in prison now. Ted Stevens seems to be the only one that made national headlines. You just referred to that. This is a ranking of the 35 most populous states, so Alaska does not qualify for that. Let's see if we can go now to David. David with us from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi.
Hi, David.
Yes. In the 70s, there was a clemency for cash scandal in Tennessee under the with Governor Ray Blanton. His aides were selling clemencies out of the and making recommendations to the governor. And I was a chaplain at that time at Tennessee State Penitentiary, and a number of his aides were indicted and found guilty and ended up doing time in on federal charges. Blanton was not found guilty of that. He later was found guilty under federal charges for liquor license, basically having to do with liquor licenses, was found guilty on that.
Mm-hmm.
His administration ended prematurely when Governor Lamar Alexander was sworn in prior to the appointed time at the after Lamar won.
Mm-hmm. Was he wearing a checked shirt at the time?
I beg your pardon?
I'm just, never mind. Thanks very much, David. Tennessee, by the way, is ranked on this survey as number 11, right after the state of New York.
And they also had people like members of the Ford family in Memphis also were involved in corruption scandals as well. A lot of people in the state legislature went to prison.
Thanks very much for the call, David. We mentioned earlier Louisiana, Evan Edwards, the quote, I'll be reelected unless they find a dead girl or a live boy in my bed. He had another very famous quote, this after he was convicted of racketeering.
The Chinese have a saying that if you sit by the river long enough, the dead body of your enemy will come floating down the river. I suppose the feds sat by the river long enough, so here comes my body.
Evan Edwards.
Edwin.
Edwin. Edwin. Well, they're so easily confused.
Come on, you can pronounce Blagojevich.
But Edwards, I have trouble with. Let's see if we can go to, this is Mason. Mason with us from Flint, Michigan.
Hi. Michigan, as a state, doesn't particularly have a gubernatorial problem, but each of our major cities has had a mayor either be impeached or had to resign because of, the mayor of Saginaw resigned because she set her car on fire and was found guilty of insurance fraud, and then obviously everybody knows about Kwame Kilpatrick.
Oh, it could never happen in Detroit.
And then the mayor of Flint, we've actually had a succession of mayors who have had to be impeached because of financial indiscretions, and actually Woodrow Stanley, the one who was most recently impeached, is now currently our county supervisor or budget supervisor or something that puts him back in the saddle, to say. So.
All right. Michigan listed here on this sheet as number 20. So you've got some ground to make up.
Well, we're really high up there in the crime statistics too. We're usually between like 1 and 3 for Flint and Detroit. So I think that we could really get there.
All right. Well, keep trying.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, you know, we're making fun of this. There is some sort of perverse pride. Ken, is there any reason why some states seem to be more outstandingly corrupt than others?
Well, you know, I talked to a professor at Colgate University, Michael Johnston. He talked about a lot has to do with demographics and homogeneousness of the
homogeneity.
Exactly. I think that's the word he used, but I thought I'd make up a word because it's. But he also talked about that it's very interesting that states that have a more of a nonpartisan makeup to it, like Minnesota, which of course the Democratic Party for a long time was they had the nonpartisan league and things like that. They're at the bottom of the list. The Minnesotas, the Oregons, the people who believe in good government, and I think they rank the lowest because the fewer scandals, fewer corruption scandals.
Iowa down there on the bottom of the list too. So keep working at it, guys. Here's Sari in Carson City, Nevada. She writes, here in Nevada, not only is Governor Gibbons involved in a nasty divorce, his wife has kicked him out of the governor's mansion. Now we taxpayers are paying for two houses of the mansion. Mansion and the Reno house the governor is living in. We are livid, and many calls have been made to get Mrs. Gibbons out of the official house, but she is staying put.
I should draw a line, though, that the Elliot Spitzers, the Jim McGreevies, the sex scandals, to me, that's not what we're trying. I think the fact that they enriched themselves, but, you know, Buddy Cianci in Providence, Rhode Island, was elected mayor and over again, even though, you know, he enriched himself and was part of this corruption scandal. But people there felt, look, he did a good job. He may have been a crook, but the city worked. And that's the view that many people in those kind of cities have.
Buddy Cianci defended himself against charges of conspiracy, extortion, racketeering, and mail fraud, among others.
It's nothing but lies, and I can tell you from the bottom of my heart that I have faith in my own integrity. I assure you I will defend myself in the honor of this office, in the honor of this city, in the honor of me, until the day I die.
I'm going to defend the honor of me, too, Buddy Cianci, as you suggest, might well get reelected mayor after he gets out of prison.
Extremely popular.
We're talking with political junkie Ken Rudin. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Carla on the line. Carla with us from East Chicago in Indiana.
Hello. I love you. I love your program.
Thank you.
But Bob Pastrick, he was a longtime mayor of East Chicago, Indiana, is the one and only time that the RICO statutes have been used against a political subdivision anywhere in the United States.
The RICO statute, the racketeering and furtherance of corrupt activities. That's RICO.
Exactly. So most of his co-conspirators have taken pleas and made settlements to pay back a lot of the money they stole. He's still facing the RICO suit. And the majority of his last city council is in federal prison right now.
You have to say, though, Indiana on this listing, number 26.
Yeah, but, you know, Northwest Indiana is frequently ignored. And it's not just East Chicago. It's actually all of Northwest Indiana has long had problems.
Gary, places like that, yeah.
Yeah, Gary, Hammond, et cetera. And Bob Pastrick was a major player in the National Democratic Party for the 30-some years he was in office here. So it goes kind of deep here.
All right, Carla, thanks very much for the call. Ken?
One more thing about what's upsetting, especially upsetting about Illinois, is that after George Ryan went to prison, Blagojevich was elected in 2002 sort of as a reformer, and you think that after all that the folks in Illinois had gone through and that the rumors about George Ryan have been going on since he was Secretary of State, and yet following George Ryan, you have another alleged, of course, he hasn't been convicted of anything, but if the charges are true, you have back-to-back corruption, and then that kind of wears you down. In Maryland years ago, when Spiro Agnew was the corrupt Baltimore County executive, the corrupt governor, and then ultimately the corrupt vice president, he was followed by Marvin Mandel, who also went to prison. So again, it just wears on you.
Ted Agnew, he said he never did a thing.
I will not resign if indicted. I will not resign if indicted.
Man who popularized the phrase nolo contendere. Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Jay. Jay with us from Raleigh, North Carolina.
How you doing?
Very well.
Good. Well, I'm actually a New Yorker. I'm just here in Raleigh. And I want to compliment you, Ken, on your comments about Elliot Spitzer. You're absolutely right. It's got nothing to do with corruption. And in fact, one of the
moral
reasons that
Spitzer maybe
fell as hard as he did were the powerful enemies he made undressing corruption and revealing it. So you're correct about that. But my candidate for the most corrupt place in America is not a state at all. It is a district. What could be more corrupt than the District of Columbia?
Well, are you talking locally or federally or both? Certainly on both, you're probably right.
Absolutely. Since the inception of the city or the district, it's been riddled with corruption on the federal level, on the municipal level. I think that gets the award.
Ken, the District of Columbia?
Well, when you think of the last two mayors, you think of them as completely uncorrupt.
Mr. Clean's.
Clean's, right. Of course, when you think of corruption, you think of Marion Barry. But again, that was
sex and drugs.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll. But it's not so much, you know, lining your pockets when you think of the mayors of Newark and Jersey City and things like that.
So, whole scads of school board officials, though, who were involved in raking off money from the local government here in the District of Columbia. And, of course, on the federal level, we mentioned Duke Cunningham earlier. Well, where was that famous houseboat that he equipped with such fancy antiques?
Oh, a lot of members of Congress, Jim Traficant, Mario Biaggi, Duke Cunningham, Bob Ney, they all seem to be involved in scandal stuff. And that's spread out all over the country.
Who could forget Jim Traficant?
I have committed no crimes. If I committed crimes, I'd throw myself at the mercy of this judge, try and get 3-4 years with the help of some friends in Congress. But I am prepared to go to jail for 10 to 12 years because I didn't commit these crimes.
Had a terrible, terrible hairpiece.
It was donated by Rod Blagojevich.
Ken Rudin is with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking with David Korn of Mother Jones magazine about disillusionment by many on the left with Team Obama thus far. Already, the firing squad begins to open. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.